Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Now wrapping basketball, number one, Herb's Flow.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks.
Welcome back to the Hardline. Bob Ramsey, John Hadley, Matt Rocchio, TJ Moe is on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll get all his updates then. Because you never know what's going to be getting under his skin, but we'll find out at about 1:02 tomorrow. We do requests. Our friend Johnny Bravo came through and said he wanted to hear that song because he knew we were going to talk a little hoops, and there, you got it. We do requests. Let's begin the begin. Rock, you missed that reference. Look it up. Begin the Begin. Look it up. Just write that. Begin the Begin. That's it. Write it down. Let's start.
If your ankle's not hurting too much.
Let's.
That seems like an
inside health joke.
That seems like an unnecessary comment.
No. I asked Rock to help today, and he's doing it. And as he always does, Rock's pure money. Always there for the team. I said, Rock, I need to move some stuff after work today. Now, I have a herniated disc in my neck, which creates daily problems ranging from just ridiculous pain to an ache. I'm 58 years old. I've had 7 surgeries, including 2 laminectomies, my knee scoped twice, and a shoulder surgery. I'm going over there to move, and my shoulder is in pain today. I just say, Rock, we're going to need to move some because I'm just going to suck you up. Rock says, well, I can, but you know, my ankle's swollen, sore. It's, I don't know. It's really not so much of a.
When did you develop the lisp? Does that go with the ankle?
Yes, it often does. Directly relatable. And it's, I don't know if it's so much a, I don't know, a hard pain as it is a stinging pain that I'm dealing with.
Stinging.
All right, Rock, whatever. Me? Let's do it. If I die, I die.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And when I'm 58, I'll probably have a very similar mindset. I'm just trying not to be like, don't make me be like, okay, so we have some old file cabinets from 1947 down in the basement. Go ahead and grab that supporting belt and get all of them.
Get after it. Get and, after it. Make it happen.
I'm just saying, is when my ankle snaps under that pressure.
Oh, brother.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Ah! Yeah, it's gonna snap.
Oftentimes those sprains lead to snaps.
Of course, obviously.
Yeah, we're really worried about that.
Well, the problem is when you weaken everything around it, that's when you get real issues.
That's how I feel about doing this show.
That just happened, Rock.
So let's start over the weekend on the road. First of all, Olean, New York. You can't get there from here. I know, because Earl and I had to do it this weekend, and it was miserable. Absolutely miserable, but enough about me. Speaking of miserable, it was a miserable game for St. Louis University, who had an opportunity. I know it was on the road. I know it was against a team that was ahead of them in the standings, who surprised a lot of folks. I get all of those things. But you had an opportunity to make your move and set yourself up better in the conference tournament to get the double bye. And not only did you get beat, but I got to be honest, we played miserably. We played miserably, and it's really, really, really frustrating. I know that, nobody's happy about it. Nobody's, making excuses. But it was really, you were trying to build a little momentum and the regular season ends with a bit of a thud. There's no question about that. On the good side, Tremaine Isabel remains dynamic. He was the Atlantic 10 player of the week. I didn't do the math. In his last, I think it's 8 games, he's averaging right at 20 points a game. In his last 6 games, 21 or 22 points a game. He, this is a guy you hope to have all year. I don't know if anybody can really, we talked about this last week, can really explain why it wasn't there early. We do know it's there now. The tragedy of it all is Javon Bess is playing on one leg now. And for this team to be good, as decimated as they are by attrition, they need the few guys they have left. They need them all to play well right. at the same time. And it's just been very difficult to put that together. When they do, they kick butt. Yeah. They kick butt. Now, you could say that about many teams. That's my point. They're just sort of in that, in the muck
right.
with everybody else. And I can even simplify it further. When the Billikens can shoot the ball, they're really hard to beat. But what is it, one out of three, one out of four games
right.
that we shoot the ball? So you have hope, but you also have trepidation because you know Javon Bess is compromised physically.
Yeah. And we're talking against maybe everyone other than the top 12, 15 teams in the country. Virtually any other team, the Bills are shooting, they can compete.
With anybody.
Right down to the stretch.
Yep.
Now, I can't remember exact. I don't know if TJ used this on the 590 The Fan Twitter page or not. How do they, you remember, Rock, how to get to that thing? 590 The Fan Twitter page? Anyhow, I would like for you to give that out to the folks. But I threw him this number over the weekend, and I'm trying to crawl off the top of my head. I believe it was in the first 12 games.
At 590 The Fan?
Normally, it's really not good to promote something while I'm talking because it may be just like hidden. Oh, boy.
Subliminal.
I am millennials. It's just like. Anyhow.
Did you?
The point is.
Okay. Then I want to digress.
It was like the first 12 games, Isabel had scored 118 points after the new year. From like January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the last five games, this is going into Saturday, he had scored 118 points. You know, and I don't know how many times I sat here and heard you say, well, this Isabel has this, this Isabel has that.
And we weren't seeing it until
recently.
I'm going to say the last eight. I can look that up here in a second.
If they can just find a way to maximize minutes within a limited time frame for Bess. I still think they got a shot, but somebody else is going to have to pick it up. Not just Isabel, but if you're limiting Bess's minutes, and I think Bess might be the only player on the team that started every game this year, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Look at you. Well done.
You know, so you're going to have to limit his minutes to a certain in relative terms of what he normally plays. Somebody else is going to have to pick it up. But I know one thing: no matter what happens, this coach has these kids playing tenacious basketball. If he just finds himself some guys who are talented and putting the ball in the hoop, we could be in for some fun times with the SLU Billikens.
Well, we're going to. And maybe it starts as soon as Thursday, 7:30 Central for their game. They got the late game, which is never a good draw. So they go from being what would have been the double bye, not playing till Friday, to having a bad draw on Thursday. However, you got to play the winner of the Richmond-Fordham game. Fordham plays hard, but obviously that's a team you're supposed to beat every time you play them. Same thing with Richmond, but Richmond kind of took a big, steamy dump on the Billiken season when they beat them
right.
in St. Louis in January. That is a game from which you couldn't recover.
No, horse flies everywhere.
Yeah.
That was
one you really, no matter how you would have finished, you could have finished better had you won the game you were supposed to win. So you say, well, maybe you'd like to get a little revenge. Yeah, I think that would be nice. But they've got a guy, Grant Golden, Richmond, I mean, right. Grant Golden, who is one of the best centers as far as scoring and post moves in the country.
Which is a tough matchup for
in the country. So it'll be a real challenge. So there are no guarantees going in, but if you can get that one, then it looks like you'd play Dayton on Friday, and there's a team you split with. They, you know, we talked about hitting on all cylinders, that they can beat anybody. When they played Dayton at home, I think that was late January, when they played Dayton in St. Louis, destroyed them, took them apart, and were okay at Dayton, competitive, but in the end fell well short. So which Billiken team shows up if you get a chance to play Dayton? But you right. know you've done it once, so it's doable.
And then get into the weekend, and you just never know.
Then you never know. Then you hope that the grind of you playing defense and commanding the boards is enough.
Ask Bob Huggins in Cincinnati.
All those years. Now, talk about toughness. When you've recruited guys like Huggins did, guys that'll punch out a police horse or will.
Or Mongo.
Same thing. If he could jump, Huggins would have recruited him. But this is a physically tough team. I think they're mentally tough. Although I know I didn't get. I'll talk to Travis tonight on the coach's show, but he didn't. He was not forthcoming with much. He was pretty hot after the game. I think he felt like the team let themselves down a little bit on Saturday. Yeah. You know, you miss a dozen layups minimum. Just weren't effective.
Right. Even Earl, you could tell disappointment in Earl's voice during the broadcast. And Earl hides that kind of stuff more often than not.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, these guys suck. So are the refs. I thought the refs were doing, shut up, Hadley. The refs suck. They always do, always have.
That was pretty much a good impression of me from Saturday. That was kind of dead on. Now let's go a little more local. More local than SLU. How so, Bob? Well, because the Billikens were away in Olean, New York. Missouri Valley Conference was at the Enterprise Center. He's right here in St. Louis. And while it was an exciting finish, I don't know that it was a great weekend for the Missouri Valley Conference. Top four seeds all lost. And so the representative of the conference going into the big dance was a sixth seed. And Bradley earned it. They earned it over the weekend. I don't take anything away from them. They played a terrible first half, but had a beautiful run in the second half and won a close game. Hats off. I'm a big fan of Brian Wardle. He's the coach of Bradley. I watched him a lot at Marquette when he played there. Just a stud, just an absolute stud. And actually was aware of him from when he was a kid. He's the kind of guy you want leading a program. But Bradley disappointed. They had to pay for, as was mentioned on the broadcast, on the telecast yesterday, they paid for an unconscionable, horrible 0-5 start to league play. So they say, well, maybe they're a better team than they were then. Yeah, that's probably true. But for them representing the Valley in the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to come up. You know, being a 15 seed is where people are projecting. That's a tough road.
I would think at best a 14, probably a 15. Because they just turned it on. Bradley started playing well down the stretch.
Started with their defense, blocking shots, doing a better job on the boards.
So, I mean, they coming into the tournament, they were quasi-hot. But this was not the best year for the Valley. But I love that tournament. I hope we have that tournament forever.
Forever.
I love going down for Valley games. I really do. I really do. And you know what? Good for Bradley. Because, again, for an old boy like me who used to remember Bradley being a factor.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time that they were in the dance? 2009, I think?
Five? Nine?
Either way.
The past decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been some time. Seeing Bradley get in, I like it, but it wasn't the prettiest game by any means.
06.
So we were dancing all around it. And championship week will be interesting. I'm not saying that any of the leagues that are playing their championship games this week will be factors in the NCAA tournament. I mean, could somebody make a Loyola-type run? I guess that's possible. You wouldn't bet on it, though.
Right.
But it's interesting. It means a lot to those leagues that know, for the most part, they're just getting the one bid. It means a lot. And when it means a lot, there's a lot on the line. The competition's usually pretty darn good, and it's enjoyable to watch.
That's why I'm actually, while based on rankings and statistics and analysis, it shouldn't be a surprise. It will be. But that's why I'm curious watching Wofford tonight and then down the stretch. Because this is a team that in the NCAA's own rankings, now used for the tournament, is sitting 14th in the nation right now. If I ask most people, where does Wofford rank in the NCAA rankings?
I generally check that almost daily, and it didn't occur to me.
I mean, they're sitting there 14. I'm looking forward to them seeing them play again tonight. But there's one who could very fit the role that
a little Cinderella run.
But there's a lot of things. I mean, I want to see how Duke fares in this tournament. Without Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause let me tell you something right now. North Carolina turned them inside out in Durham. And once they start to wore down in the second half, North Carolina spanked them again. North Carolina beat Duke as thoroughly in these two matches as I can recall in any season in recent years. So I'll be curious to see how Duke fares without Williamson again in this tournament. I mean, you know, the Pac-12, I can't imagine.
They're going to get two teams, what?
Probably. Max.
Yeah.
Max. And to me, it's just, I watch some of these Pac-12 games just because the way that that conference has been this year, it's one of those, you want to talk about a Cinderella? I can see an 8, 9, 10 seed out of the Pac-12 winning the championship, the Pac-12 championship. So, I mean, there are certain things. Obviously, the SEC because of Mizzou and their, you know, the Big Ten. I would not be opposed to another Michigan-Michigan State matchup
in the championship. It would be exciting. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there are things that.
So, what you're going to get is, and one of the things you'll get for the elitists like TJ, who's not here to defend himself, so that's why I'm taking shots.
Oh, no, he'll admit it.
The ACC, you'll get the whole league in practically.
Right.
So, it'll be an extended ACC tournament in the NCAA tournament. Hey, they're great. So, I'm not dissing him for that. How many from the SEC will get in will be interesting. Most of the Big Ten will go, it seems. We mentioned the Pac-12, not. Everybody knows I'm a mid-major honk, and I'll be interested to see what the West Coast Conference does. Gonzaga and St. Mary's should be locked. Gonzaga's a lock, obviously. They're top four. But St. Mary's, they should be in, but maybe not.
And in the past, they've been left on the sideline.
There's a couple other teams in that league that are really pretty good, too, like San Francisco. So we'll see how the West Coast Conference does. I'm a fan of the West Coast Conference. That doesn't really mean anything, but.
No, I like West Coast basketball tonight.
Yeah.
I always have.
Me too. You stay up late, you're watching. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're the same way. So so we'll see how that goes, and I hope the mid-majors do well. The Big East has been a real have and have not league. St. John's lost yesterday, and that probably knocked him out of the tournament. That's my guess.
As good as Villanova has been, I'm honestly, I don't think that there's one team from the Big East that should even be considered higher than a four.
Oh, I agree.
And I could not be more serious.
I agree. You know, so, Marquette stumbled to the finish.
Oh, it was just been a horrid year. It started out that way with some bad non-conference losses with various teams. And it seemed to pick up, and then it died again in the end. This is about as bad as the Big East has been in a long, long time.
And so maybe the AC, SEC, Big Ten, maybe it's all on them. Big 12 will get Kansas State, Kansas. Who else? Rock, help me out real quick.
Well, TCU will be in.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think TCU will
really
be in. No.
19, even with the win over the weekend?
I don't think so.
Seven, wow.
They're still under 500.
7-11 in conference, 19-12 overall.
They're a big disappointment. Because my kid, for those that don't know, my kid goes there, so right. I follow him. You know, and
you have TCU garb.
So yeah. Texas Tech.
I'm paid enough.
Texas Tech will.
Texas Tech will make it. Baylor and Iowa State will. Iowa State will go. Baylor will be a 21 team if they win.
What's their league record?
They're 19-12 overall and 10-8 in the league, but that's better than Iowa's. Iowa State's 9-9.
Oh.
But Iowa State is 20-11. Baylor's 19-12.
Three for sure, maybe as many as five.
Maybe as many as five, yeah, because yeah,
three
then,
for
it,
sure.
Then it falls to a 500 Texas team.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Well, TCU and Oklahoma are both interesting because they're 7-11 in conference, but they're 19.
I thought they'd get in, but you're probably right, Bob. They're sitting there 47 right now in the NCAA rankings.
That's probably not good enough unless they get somebody, you know, lobbying for them in the committee room.
Let me tell you something.
Next Sunday. I doubt it, though.
Two very, very highly paid coaches with two marquee programs had better do something in that Big Ten tournament. Because my guess is neither Indiana or Ohio State's in right now either.
I keep hearing people, what about Indiana? Nothing about Indiana. They're not good enough.
Yeah, 8-12 with a 17-14 record. I don't care if
they've had a couple good wins.
If it is the Big Ten. That's not
that's not good enough.
Team.
Period. Move on.
Yeah, a Big Ten, though, is going to probably bank.
Six, seven?
Six, because Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa's already a 21-win team. So Minnesota, 9-11, 19-12, probably not. Iowa State 8-12 with an 18-13.
No,
her game better in conference.
Real quick, I have one more point before the break, but I want to make one more point before that. So a sub point. Look up the American Conference real quick. You're faster than me.
Or two points.
Or I could just say 2 points before we break. Okay, you're an editor. See, You know how to make things clean and succinct. So, for sure, Houston.
Yes. 29-2, 16-2 in conference.
And we got Houston. We got who? Memphis.
Cincinnati is next.
And Cincinnati.
25-6, 14-4. UCF, Central Florida is 23-7 and 13-5, tied with Temple. Except Temple's got one more loss overall, 23-8.
See, I think they can get
and
4
then
or 5.
It goes down to Memphis at 19-12, 11-7.
They're borderline. Memphis will be borderline. So I think they'll get their 4. And I really think different, certainly this year. I don't mean this all the time, but this year, I think there's a big 7. And the American and the Big East are 6 and 7. And I think the American, certainly the top, American Conference is so big. The bottom feeders are not very good. Tulane and East Carolina, they're not very good at all. But the top of the league is great, and the middle of the pack is very competitive. I think, you know, you talk about your Big Five. I think American is no worse than the 6th league in the country this year, and I think the Big East is no worse than 7th.
Here's my question then. If they're that good, how do you rate both South Florida and Memphis are both 19-12, but South Florida's 8-10 in conference while Memphis is 11-7? How much further down do you have a team like South Florida? Do you even have them? You even have them in consideration?
No, but what I'm saying is they're competitive teams. I mean, just when you're comparing leagues over the course of a whole season, I think the American's really good. Now, I could be a little. He's in to defend himself. Oh, he's going to go Cro-Magnon on me.
The elitist has arrived.
How about that, big boy?
I could not miss Silent Rock Monday. I couldn't miss it. So here I am.
You guys both suck.
To celebrate.
All right. After what happened to me on Friday, then Hadley giving me crap for not wanting to lift a bunch of heavy stuff with on my ankle. You guys,
seriously,
I love you both.
When did you develop that lift?
You guys suck. on Friday, you guys would have heard it, but unfortunately,
well,
as everyone who listened,
the pressure on my ankle
well,
is bad
because he's been taking those estrogen supplements, and then the lisp came with it.
It's called almond milk.
That does make sense. Is that making your
same thing?
Bigger?
Almond milk is not milk. Call it something almond juice if you want. It's
right.
Not milk.
Right.
That's well.
Can you milk comes from a mammal.
Can you milk me? If you ain't got your hands around the teeth, you ain't getting milk.
I have breasts, John. Can you milk me?
Exactly. Rob, you ever grab a teat?
You see Rob?
It is rare, but males
Rock.
Do lactate on occasion. It is rare. It's usually a disorder.
Actually, or a drug disorder. Gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah,
Rock,
so we're not
Silent Rock Monday. Got it?
No.
Silent Rock Friday was fantastic. You should have heard it, Rammer. Rock didn't say a single word. And we threw it to him 3 or 4 times, didn't we, John?
We tried.
Again, you're bad people.
Silent Rock Friday. It was the most Rock has ever contributed to a show.
Now that I think about it.
Good content.
Mimi Cam isn't really just sweating.
No. Now you gotta, like, now I have a mental image of, oh.
Okay.
Maybe it isn't just, I always thought it was bizarre that sweat would form around his breast assist.
Oh, my God. Let's take a break.
Strange.
TJ, let's take a break. TJ Moe is here. I'm going to hand the show off to him.
I didn't bring anything.
We're going to take,
so
good.
You keep at it if you want.
We're going to come back. I want to wrap up one more thing with college basketball. We got baseball to talk, and then we're gonna crawl inside TJ Moe's pelt, see what makes this dude tick.
Oh, neato. I'm into it.
It's the Hard Line. We'll be right back.